We so much appreciate the Shenandoah Church of Christ and your stern and firm stand for the truth of God's Word. We're thankful for you and for this wonderful work of this lectureship every year. And we wish and pray and hope that all of this will continue. Appreciate Don and Jackie so very much and the good work that they do and all the good encouragement they give so many. I got a little joke on the email the other day, and I thought it was kind of cute. I thought, well, I might relate it to you. I'm not a very good joke teller. But a guy saw a sign in a business up in Pennsylvania somewhere. It said, Arab terrorist, welcome here. And he went and told one of his friends, there's a business down there. It has a sign on it that says, Arab terrorist, welcome here. And the fellow thought, well, you know, we do have freedom of speech here in America. But during this time, though, you know, 9/11 and all of that, he felt it was hard that thought it was very difficult for someone to have a sign like that in their business. And he said, well, what kind of business was it? And the fellow said it was the Undertaker's. So they were welcome there. The question that we're going to deal with today, what is truth, was asked by, of course, Pilate, a Roman, who was in Jerusalem. He was interrogating Jesus. Jesus had been brought before him. In John chapter 18, we'll read a part of that discussion that he had with Jesus. Verse 36 says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. He asked a tremendously pertinent question. He's the only one in the Bible that asked that question. But it's a relevant question. What is the truth? Now, it's inconclusive in this context here whether he was asking it sarcastically or whether he was truly sincere and wanted to know the truth. I believe that he asked the right person this question. He asked Jesus, what is truth? But I don't believe he gave, I believe Jesus would have been happy to answer him. But he didn't seem to give Jesus an opportunity, because it says when he said this, he went out unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. He immediately left the presence of Jesus and went to address the pressing multitude. And so we're going to discuss this question today, what is truth? And I'd like for us to understand that truth is not only important in religion, but truth is important in every field, in every realm. Truth is important whether we're talking about farming or avionics or medicine or computer science. Truth is important in every field. And so it's important, of course, in religion as well. We need to know what truth is. Let's begin by first of all saying that I believe that truth is a precious blessing of God. Truth comes from God. All truth comes from God. Whether we're talking about science, scientific truth, whether we're talking about agricultural truth or the truth of physics, whatever we're talking about, truth is of God. And certainly religious truth is of God. Jesus said in his prayer in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Truth has come from God. Truth is a great blessing of God. And, you know, the Darwinists believe that everything evolved. Well, I suppose they believe that truth evolved as well. But truth did not evolve, no more than you and I evolved. Truth is from God. And there are five basic characteristics of God. And that is justice, holiness, mercy, love and truth. Those are the five basic characteristics of God. Truth is of God. And I suggest if you know something about holiness, you know something about God, because that's His character. If you know something about love or something about mercy or justice, you know something about God. And if you know something about truth, then you know something about God. And in this discussion today, as we discuss what is truth, we're going to be discussing actually what is God. What is the character of God? We're going to know something about the character of God as we discuss this matter of truth. If one knows something of God, then one knows something of truth. And if one knows something of truth, you certainly know something of God. God is truth. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says, He can be trusted, fully trusted in every way. In 1 John 1 and 5 it says that in Him is light, He is light, and in Him is no darkness. There is no falsehood in God at all. And so God can be trusted. Whatever God says, it is true. Whatever the Bible says about the geography of that time, it's true. The Bible says, such as in Luke chapter 10, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Geographically, that is true. Whatever the Bible says historically, as we have read today, a man by the name of Pilate, that is true. That is accurate. Whatever the Bible says about the culture, about the politics of that day and time, it is true. Whatever the Bible says morally, it is true. Now, you don't have to necessarily believe the Bible about its moral truth if you don't want to. You don't have to believe the Bible about its geographic truth or its cultural truth. You don't have to, but go examine that. Go look at it. And we can examine whether the Bible is true morally or not. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 22 and 15 that foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, that is true. That's truth. What is truth? Truth is from God. Truth is a wonderful blessing of God. And the Bible presents the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Hosea 4 and 11 says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. You know that's morally true? That's a moral truth. Wine takes away the heart. Whoredom takes away the heart. Worldly living takes away the morals. It takes away the value. It causes one to behave irrationally and cruelly. And so the Bible is true. It is from God. What is truth? Truth is of God. It is from God. And so we could also say that God is truth. You know, the Bible says in John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. We know that Jesus is God, John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1 and 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is God, and Jesus Christ is the truth. The truth is of God, and it's a wonderful blessing that God has given to us. God's Word is truth. And when God created the world, He made the whole universe. It's all based on truth. Everything is based on truth. And man is looking for the truth. Man needs to find the truth. That's why there's all these laboratories researching medical matters. They want to find the truth. They want to find the truth of what causes cancer and how we cure cancer or some other kind of disease. They want the truth on that. They want the truth on these matters. And so everything associated with God and those things which God has created is based on truth, and it's at the heart of everything. And when we practice truth in medicine, we will have good health. We will have been benefited by the truth of that. But false medical information will only harm man. And that's the same as true with false doctrinal information. It will harm the inner man as well as false medical information will harm the physical man. And so what is truth? Truth is a blessing. Truth is of God. Truth is our friend. And we need to know the truth. In religion, of course, truth is irreplaceable. There is no substitute for truth. Jesus said in John 8 and 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth will make us free from the worst bondage in all of the world. It's our friend. It is a blessing. And we ought to be thankful for it. What is truth? Truth is one of the most valuable things that man can obtain. The truth. And no wonder the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23 and 23. And so truth is of God. Truth is a blessing. Truth is helpful and essential to man. But let's discuss another matter concerning truth and the answer of what is truth. Truth is absolute. By absolute, we mean that truth is unalterable. Let's imagine that we have a ball of clay about the size of a bowling ball here. Now, truth is not like a ball of clay. That if man doesn't like the shape of that clay, well, he can just squish it. And he can change the shape of it. That's not how truth is. If man says, I don't like it in the shape of a ball, I'll just squish it and make it flat. That is not truth. We cannot treat truth like taffy. We cannot pull it and stretch it and form different shapes out of it. That's not how truth is. No, truth is more like another ball over here, about the size of a bowling ball, that's made out of granite. When we say truth is absolute, we are saying that it is unchangeable. You cannot compromise a ball of granite. You cannot flatten it out and roll it up in a long roll. You can't do that. And that's what truth is. Truth is unchangeable. It's unalterable. Now, a truth of science, a very basic truth of science is, mountain streams always flow downhill. Now, that's a fact. But that's also true. And that truth can never be changed. That water doesn't stop. That water doesn't flow backwards. That water always flows downhill in a mountain stream. By the way, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 1 and 7, all rivers flow to the sea. That's truth. The Bible even says that. And so that's what we're talking about. The truth is unalterable, whether we're talking about science or whether we're talking about medical information. You know, life is in the blood. You drain all the blood out of your body, and there will be no life. You'll be dead. Leviticus 17 and 11 says, life is in the blood. That's a truth. That's an unchangeable truth. You know, at one time people believed that if you were sick, you would cut a vein, and you would drain blood from your body, and that you would feel better. You would be well. The disease or the sickness would be removed from your body. Well, many people died because of that kind of medical procedure. That was not true. It was false. And many people died. It's believed that Washington, the first president of the, George Washington, first president of the United States, died because of that. Because of false information. But that is truth. Life is in the blood. And no quorum of medical experts could come together and meet and change that. You cannot change that. No group of scientists could come together and say, oh, mountain streams don't run downhill. Well, they run up the hill. No, they couldn't change that. No one, no group of men, no meeting of the minds could change that. That is truth, the nature of truth, no matter what kind of truth we're talking about. If we're talking about historical proof, you can't change it. The Civil War ended on April the 9th, 1865, at Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia, when Robert E. Lee met Ulysses S. Grant and surrendered the Confederate armies. That is a historical fact. That is historical truth. And nothing can change that. That's the nature of truth. That's what truth is. And so truth is truth, and it cannot be interpreted 1,000 different ways. It is unalterable. It is unchangeable. And the vote of a million dissenters cannot ever change truth. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. John 1 and 14, John 3 and 16, no one can ever change that. Jesus Christ came to this earth to build one church, Matthew 16 and 18. And that's the truth, and no one can change that. Baptism in water is for the remission of sins, Acts 2, 38. It's necessary for the remission of sins, Acts 22 and 16. Singing is the only music God has authorized in the worship of the church, Ephesians 5 and 19. No one can change that fact. That is a fact of the Bible. Any teacher who does not teach that Jesus built only one church, any teacher who teaches that Jesus Christ is not God, is not the Son of God, any teacher who teaches that vocal music is not the only music to be used in the Lord's church is a false teacher. Does not teach the truth, and is not a friend of the truth. The vote of 10 million emotional evangelicals cannot change the truth on what the Bible says about baptism. You could get a convention of Southern Conference, Eastern Conference, Western Conference. You could put starch collars around their necks. You could fill a room with tongue-speaking people. They could be dancing up in the aisles, handling snakes, and the vote of those people will never change the truth. Never change the truth. Truth is truth. Those in Rome cannot change the truth. Those in Salt Lake City cannot change the truth. Those in Brooklyn, New York cannot change the truth because of the nature of truth. Truth is unalterable and cannot be changed. Scholars can hold conferences until the mountains crumble and the oceans freeze over. But Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It is there. It is unalterable. Just as Jesus cannot change. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. He cannot be changed. And Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth. He is the truth. He does not change. The truth does not change. Time will never change the truth. A space-age society filled with Generation Xers, Generation 13ers, and baby boomers will never change Acts 2:38. It is just as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. No one is to tamper with the truth. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. There is a warning. If you try to change the truth, you're in serious trouble, the Bible says. Everyone who heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto the words of the book of this prophecy, God is going to add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You want to wonder what plagues will do? Go back and read in the first part of Exodus and the plagues that God brought upon Egypt. They destroyed that land. Plagues are for punishment. Plagues are for destruction. And if anyone adds unto the words of the book that God has given to us, plagues of punishment and destruction will be added unto him. And then the following verse says, if we take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. Now that refutes once saved, always saved, does it not? You've got to be in the book of life before you can be taken from the book of life. And so God will do that. You cannot change the truth. What is truth? It's something that you and I cannot alter. We cannot modify. We cannot add to. We cannot subtract from it. And if we do, we have the assurance of God that we will answer for it. We will answer for it in the most serious and solemn way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." And we can speak the same thing because we have the truth. It's just like 2 plus 2. If we were to say the answer to that, we would all say the same thing. 4. We can all speak the same thing because we're handling the truth, and the truth can all be stated the same. If we were to say, "When did the Civil War end?" we would all say the same answer. If we didn't know it, we'd go get a history book and we'd find out what it is. And then we'd say the same answer. That you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. The same mind. Well, what mind is that? It's the mind of Christ. Have the same mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And so 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 says we're to speak the same thing, and that we're to have the same mind and the same judgment. All men are to think like Christ, speak like Christ, teach like Christ, believe like Christ, practice like Christ, live like Christ, exactly like Christ. And we can do that because we have the truth, the unchangeable, the unalterable, the unmodifiable truth of God's Word. This would solve, of course, all the division problems among religious folk if they would just heed that one verse in the Bible. What is truth? It's from God. It's God's blessing to us. It is absolute. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered in any way. But let's say this also about truth in our study and in our discussion today, that truth is narrow. Truth does not have tolerance. It is narrow. When you put your tire on your car, you do not want any tolerance. You want those lug nuts to be pulled up all the way tight. You tighten some more. You tighten them a little bit more. And then you tighten them one more time for good measure, because you don't want any tolerance in that wheel. If you got tolerance in that wheel, then you're going to have this action on the front of your car. That wheel is going to wobble if there's tolerance there. And if it wobbles like that, you're going to go this way and you're going to go that way. You're going to be zigging and zagging. And if we have that in the Bible, that's what's wrong with people today. They're wobbling all over the place. But the truth has no tolerance. Now, I don't care what kind of truth you're talking about. We mentioned a moment ago history, the truth of history. The truth about Pearl Harbor and World War II is this. On December the 7th, 1941, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor beginning at 7:55 in the morning. Now, there's no tolerance in that. It's December the 7th, 1941. Someone were to come along and say, "Oh, no, it was December the 8th. No, you're wrong, we would say. "No, that's not right. You are wrong." What would we be allowing? Any tolerance? No, we would not be allowing any tolerance. No leeway there. That's the nature of truth. In science, a molecule of water is composed of 2 atoms of hydrogen and 1 atom of oxygen. You know how big an atom is? It is so tiny and so beyond smaller than microscopic. It's smaller than that. That's how small an atom is. But the makeup of water must be 2 atoms hydrogen, 1 atom oxygen. And if you have, as small as that composition is, there's no room for tolerance. Otherwise, you do not have water. Truth has no tolerance. Whether we're talking about science or we're talking about history, and certainly if we're talking about religion, there's no tolerance in what the Bible has to say. In Acts 4 and verse 12 it says that there is no other name, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that's the truth. And as you can see, there's no tolerance there. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no tolerance there. Now, Mary was the mother of Jesus. She was as closely related to him as a person could get. And yet, we're not saved by the name of Mary. Peter was one of the great apostles. And of course, he was given the keys and opened up the kingdom on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. He was a man regarded highly by the Lord and given tremendous responsibility. But it's not by the name of Peter, as great a part that he played in the kingdom of God. We cannot have that kind of tolerance. There's only one way to heaven, not a thousand. Men might say, oh, there are many roads that lead to heaven. You ever heard that one? That's an old one, isn't it? But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus says, I am the way. There are not many ways to heaven. His way is the only way. And the doctrines of grace only, faith only, and works only, and emotionalism, they cannot save you. It must be the way that Jesus has given to us. Truth is narrow. Matthew 7 and 14 says, narrow is the gate and straitened is the way that leadeth unto life. It's narrow. It has no tolerance. Jesus built only one church, Matthew 16 and 18. That's the truth. He didn't build a 500,000 churches. Man is amenable and he is subject to only one baptism, Ephesians 4 and verse 5, not 3 or 4 or 5. Salvation can only be found in the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. It can only be found in the church which Jesus is the head of and the one that follows the pattern set forth in the scriptures. And if you're not in that church, you have no hope. You are without Christ. You are without hope in this world. Acts 20 and 28 says that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. Ephesians 5 and 23 says he's the head of the body and he's the head of the church and the savior of the body. And we must be in that body. And so the church does not allow for tolerance. It is narrow. The truth is narrow. Jesus only died one time. Ephesians chapter 9 verses 27 and 29. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this cometh the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Once offered. It's narrow. He didn't die twice. He didn't die three times or four times or five times. The Bible says he died once. And so the scriptures are narrow. They cannot be fashioned to fit any array of religious ideology. One Bible does not teach 3,000 different denominational doctrines that contradict one another. And the reason why is because God is not the author of that kind of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14 and 33. And so the very nature of truth will not allow this. It's illogical, it's irrational to believe that truth allows for tolerance. So what is truth? Truth is of God. Truth is a blessing of God. Truth is a gift that helps and benefits man. Truth is absolute. It is unalterable. It cannot be changed. Truth is narrow and only has one way given to it. But let me say this also about truth in our study today, that truth is attainable. Truth is attainable. I don't know that Pilate believed that. I detect some sort of skepticism in his answer. What is truth? There were skeptics in his day. And the skeptics of our day, of course, would tell us that truth is elusive. You cannot ever know for certain when you have it. It's out there all right, but you'll never know when you finally arrive at the truth. That's what skeptics would say. Well, I say truth is a lot like barbecue. Barbecue's out there. Not all barbecue's the same, though, however, and you may have already found that out. But barbecue's out there, and you know when you found it. When you walk into that restaurant, you know that you smell it. You know that you know that you smell it. And when you put a piece of that barbecue in your mouth, you know that it's there. Well, truth is that way too. Truth is knowable. Truth is attainable. How absurd for someone to say that you can't know the truth. 2 plus 2 is 4. Everybody knows that. That is the truth. We can attain it. We can know it. You know, these doctors of doubt, these skeptics, I've got a sneaky suspicion about them. You know, they go around preaching and teaching that you can't ever know that you know the truth. Truth is elusive. You know what my little sneaky suspicion is? That they don't want to ever find the truth. Because if they do, then they're going to have to obey it. And they don't want to obey it. They don't want to have to do what the Lord says to do. They don't want to be locked in on a certain way to live and a certain way to behave and a certain thing to teach. They want freedom and they want their own liberty. That's my sneaking suspicion of them, that they really don't want to believe that the truth is knowable. But Jesus said it was. Jesus was no skeptic. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He was not a skeptic. I've known some religious skeptics, and they want to be religious, and they want to be followers of Christ. But if they're going to be followers of Christ, they must believe what Christ believed. They must believe that truth is knowable. And we can know the truth. How ridiculous for anyone to say that truth is not knowable and say that they are religious in their thinking and in their ideology. How ridiculous. That's a slap in the face of Jesus. For Jesus to say, "You shall know the truth." And then they turn around and say, "No, you can't know the truth. And truth is elusive and you'll never know what it is." That would make Jesus a liar. The truth is attainable. The fact of the matter is, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the Bible says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. It is knowable. Even children can know the truth. Boys and girls can understand the basic fundamentals that God loves the world and God wants to save everybody in heaven. They can understand that. But skeptics would have us believe that God is expressing, He's expressing the most beautiful concept in the world. He's expressing love in this book. He's expressing that, but you can never know the truth about love. Isn't that ridiculous that skeptics would say that? That God is expressing love to the world, but you never can know that you know the love of God? You never can know that you know anything about it? Truth is attainable. Teaching implies that. Jesus says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Teaching implies learning, and learning implies knowing. You can know the truth because you can teach the truth, and you can learn the truth. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." It's a learning process. It's a knowing process. Truth is essential, of course. John 8:32, no truth, no freedom. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For us to worship God in truth, we must have the truth. We must know the truth. Truth is essential. And we must understand that there is no substitute for it. Truth has its enemies. There are many enemies of the truth and have been from the very beginning. Satan was against the truth. In Genesis chapter 3, he sought to alter the truth. We need to understand, what is truth? Truth is something that is blessed, it is pure, it is good, it is unalterable, it is narrow, it has no tolerance. But there are those out there who are against the truth. In Colossians 2:8, the Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We need to be careful that people do not deceive us in that way. And therefore, we must be the pillar and the ground of the truth. What is the truth? It's something the church holds up. The church supports and the church defends. Jude verse 3. We've seen in our study today that truth is from God. It's a blessing of God. It's a wonderful privilege for us to hold the truth in our hands. That truth is absolute. It's unalterable, unchangeable. That truth is narrow. It does not have tolerance, but truth is attainable. Truth is essential. Truth has enemies. And we must defend the truth with everything that we have. The truth is our roadmap to heaven. And let me leave you with the admonition that we've referred to already. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not.